In the name of Jesus, amen. The kingdom of God is like... God has to tell us what His kingdom is like because we would never figure it out. We know what earthly kingdoms are like. Earthly kingdoms are about power and prestige and palaces. The kingdom of God is not like that. Earthly kingdoms want to be seen. Earthly kingdoms want to be noticed. The kingdom of God is very different. In Matthew chapter 13, we are told seven parables about the kingdom of God. Two of them are explained, five of them are not, but they all reveal the truth about God's kingdom. May the Lord bless the speaking and hearing of His word this morning. God has to tell us what His kingdom is like because we'd never figure it out and it doesn't make sense to us. Kingdom of God is like a farmer who throws his seed everywhere. Very extravagant, generous, lavish with the seed. 75% of it falls on ground, is unproductive, it doesn't bother him. The seed will do what he wants it to do, and he is generous with it. The kingdom of God is like that. The kingdom of God is like a farmer who plants good seed in his field, but overnight an enemy goes and plants weeds in the field. And the farmer is so confident in the good seed that he lets it grow up, lets the weeds grow up along with the good seed, knowing they will be separated, but not until the harvest. And then the weeds will be destroyed and the wheat will be harvested. The kingdom of God is like that. God knows what His word will do, and He knows its power, even though it doesn't look very powerful. It's like a mustard seed. It's like yeast. A little bit goes a long way. The kingdom of God is powerful, even though it looks insignificant. And this morning, we hear that the kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field, and when a man discovers this treasure, he sells all that he has so he can buy the field and claim the treasure as his own. In a similar way, it's like a man searching for fine pearls, and he finds one of such great value that he sells everything he has to buy it. Who does that? Who sells everything that they have to buy one thing? Nobody does that. In fact, we would discourage you from doing that. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Diversify. Have stocks and bonds. Have some extra cash ready for an emergency fund. Spread it out. The man in the parable doesn't do any of those things. He goes crazy. He goes hog wild. He spends everything he has to purchase that one thing. Who does that? God does. God does that. These parables are not about you giving up everything to be a Christian. Jesus is not the treasure. Jesus is not the pearl. You are. You are the treasure. You are the pearl. You are the one whom God gave up everything, even the life of His own Son, that He could have you in His kingdom forever. Now, if you're thinking clearly, you might think, well, I'm not that great of a treasure. And you'd be right. You're not. That's why it's called grace. Amazing grace. That God, in His amazing grace and love for you, loved you so much He would rather see His own Son suffer a punishment of sin rather than you. Both the demons and the angels are amazed at the lengths God has gone to save and redeem you. Now let me detour just a bit and talk about human value. The devil cannot deny that a historical man named Jesus walked on this earth and that he was crucified. Lots of evidence for that, even among secular sources. The devil is a little bit better at convincing people to disbelieve the resurrection, but even that there's good evidence for, even among the enemies of Christ. So the devil has other schemes that he has to get people to disbelieve the Word of God, and one of them is to get people to believe they have no value. But how does the devil get to that place? Well, he gets it by getting people to doubt their origins. He gets people to disbelieve in creation. If people, you, me, if we believe that we are products of evolution, if we have evolved from a lower life form, if this whole universe is simply the result of a big bang at some point in history, then it means two things. Number one, it means you are an accident. You are a freak of nature. There should be no reason to have human beings here. We're just all here accidentally. That's number one. Number two, if we are a product of evolution, it means you have no purpose. If you are an accident and you have no reason to be here, then you have no purpose. What's the point of anything? But such is not the case. The Word of God speaks clearly that God the Father Almighty created the heavens and the earth. He created and sustains all things, and that means He made you. This world was going along fine before there was a you. And it'll go along fine after you're gone. But God wanted there to be a you. And so before your mother even knew there was a you, God knew there was a you. And He made you with your particular characteristics and personality and likes and dislikes, all because He wanted there to be a you. And in the history of the world, there has never been, and there never will be, someone exactly like you. Even if you have an identical twin. Personalities are still different. You are unique like everybody else. God designed there to be a you so that He could love you and have you with Him for all eternity. And that marvelous good news is found throughout God's Word. We heard it in our Old Testament lesson today. It said to the people of Israel, "You are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His treasured possession out of all the peoples on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set His love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples, but it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that He swore to your fathers." So we hear in our gospel reading Jesus say, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it." You are that pearl, you are that treasure. But the devil doesn't want you to believe that. So he puts doubts in your minds that say, "Well, God, if I am your treasure, then why do bad things happen to me? Why don't you treat me more like a treasure?" And we question, we judge God based on what's happening around us. So God has to remind us that He's our Father and we are His children. He sees and knows all things. Do children ever question their parents, even when the parents are acting lovingly and responsibly? Yes. Mom or dad says, "It's time for you to go to bed." Child says, "Well, I'm not tired. I want to stay up till 12, 1, 2 in the morning." Good parent knows that's not good. And the child might say, "Well, you don't love me. You don't care about me." When a parent knows it's just the opposite, they're showing love and care. Or maybe the child wants to eat junk food and stuff their face with candy, and the parent says, "No, we need to eat some nutritious food." And once again, the child says, "You don't love me. You don't care about me." Parent knows it's just the opposite. Showing love and care by not giving the child whatever they want. And so could it be that God works through things that are difficult for us to show us His love? Yes? We heard that in our epistle reading. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. All things. So does that mean that God is working out for our good even in the midst of this crazy COVID pandemic? Yes, it does. I don't get that. That doesn't make sense to me. Doesn't make sense to me either. Doesn't have to. The sign of God's love for you and for me is not on our circumstance. It's on the cross. And on the cross, you will see the world's greatest picture of love. Love for you. And God wants you to know and believe that good news, so He puts it into your ears through His holy gospel, that it might be good news and refresh you and encourage you, and to know that no matter what happens around us, God is working all things for our good. How do we hear Paul put it in Romans 8? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's how it works in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.